Everybody, welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to church. Welcome to Sunday. Welcome to Jesus's day. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a wonderful day today. This is the day that we get to praise the Heavenly Father. We get to thank Him for everything that He's done for us. We get to say, thank you, Jesus. And to say, instead of saying, oh, Lord, I'm disappointed or anything or those things, we get to say, thank you, Jesus, for what I have, and thank you for what you've done, and thank you for what you're going to do, and thank you for answering prayer. Hallelujah. You know, I was sometimes one of our patriarchs here at the church, L.A. Sperry, he writes wonderful, wonderful poetry. We get copies of them. And I was reading one yesterday. Let me pull it up. And I'm going to read the line in one of his poems that just filled me up and I was overflowing. It says, Jesus is the fixer of all things. Now, kids, that's a simple statement right there. L.A., though, it's full of everything, isn't it? Jesus is the fixer of everything. Hallelujah. That is shouting ground. Hallelujah. Jesus has it for you. I'm telling you, He's got it for you. And He's got it for all of us that love Him. Oh, I'm just shaking with just being thrilled. I love Him. I know you do too. Oh, I love Him. And I'm glad He's here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you, honey. Always, she's my little spark plug. She gets us fired up. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. I'm John Sandy, my wife Cynthia. This is The Pulse in Gasaway. And we started a couple weeks ago a brand new series entitled Love God, Hate Sin. Now, we missed last week, unfortunately, so I want to review just a tiny bit as we move forward into this second part of our series. Now, I said, love God, hate sin. You could very easily put the word and right in the middle. Now, you know, and's a pretty big word. If you write a check, and someone writes a check to you, and you put down John and Cynthia Sandy, guess what? We both have to sign it. Now, if it says or, either one. So the word and can be significant. For example, love God and hate sin. In other words, you've got to put them together. You can't use them separately. You cannot hate God and love sin. You can't. You can't separate one from the other. You can't love God and love sin. You've got to love God and hate sin. Now listen to what I'm going to say. You've got to love God and hate sin equally. It's a balancing act. Because once you get out of balance, then you get into flesh. So we need to love God, not other things. You know, like we've learned in 1 Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people say, well, you know, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. In fact, it's quite a blessing. It's quite a blessing, especially if you walk with God. I'm finishing up a new I just finished my first book. I'm working on four other projects. The other one is on how to make your money count. And I put in there that about the love of money and how we have to be careful to be balanced. And I say this in my pamphlet, not to give too much away right now. We would all agree that as Christians, we need to continually grow. But did you know that giving is an area that we need to grow also? Right? Amen? In fact, I believe the closer you get to God, the harder it is to stop you from giving. It just becomes it's a wonderful part of our lives. My daughter is a cosmetologist. She went to someone's house one day and did someone's hair for them. And she didn't want to take any money because she knew their finances. They said, no, don't steal our blessing. So when people offer you things, I know we want to be humble and not receive. It's much harder to receive than give in some ways, isn't it? So someone took care of the problem so that their haircuts are always taken care of now. And she's going to have to tell them. And what is she going to say to them? Don't steal their blessing. So it goes both ways. If you're going to stand and say, I can't take, you got to take this because I don't want you to steal my blessing. Then when someone gives you, you got to open up and take it and swallow it. Right? So we're talking about loving God and hating sin. That in itself, we could spend innumerable hours on, and we will spend some hours on this, I believe, talking about how important it is that we love God and hate sin. We talked about how there are things that God hates. You know, if you're going to love God and hate sin, you got to hate the same things God hates. Does that make sense? You can hate things. Sometimes you can hate in the wrong way. There's a good hate and a bad hate, and we're going to talk about it. But God wants us to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, and all our soul, as we shared recently. God wants all of you. Unfortunately, a lot of us spend our life trying to give God just enough to get by. No, he deserves all of you. You know what? You'll be the happier for it. Can you imagine if the richest man in the world approached you and said, I got something really good for you. Well, that's going to be pretty big, right? Because they got all this money. It's got to be big if they're going to say they got something big for you. Well, guess what your God did? I got the best for you that leave the choice to me. The God of the universe, the great I am. Now, please hear me when I say this. God delights in giving the Holy Spirit to those. If the world enjoys giving good gifts, how much more does your Heavenly Father? Now, here's the key. We got to stick it out. Listen, when you start standing on God's word and his promises, and I'm sure I get a few amens here, you're going to get tested. As soon as I started on the journey that God put me on to become a minister and now a pastor, can I say this and understand, if you understand me the right way, all hell broke loose. I mean, they worked on overtime. I got hit with so many different things, and one of my friends helped me out one day. She was a secretary in one of my schools, and she's a Christian. And when I told her what was going on, I said, oh, by the way, I'm preaching my first sermon Sunday. Here was her response. Well, no wonder. No wonder. If you want to obey God, you better get ready for the battle. Satan is not going to lay around while you see souls saved, while you fulfill God's calling on your life, which is very personal. Don't you think for a moment that that's going to get past him where he doesn't send his little imps on little journeys to mess up your life. And sometimes he'll work through some of your best friends. Sometimes he'll work through situations that you thought someone had your back, and you find out when you decide to obey God, you stirred up something. We all know the story of the football kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs that was speaking. He's a Catholic. He's speaking at a Catholic college. Duh. And so he spoke of things they believe. He did not put down one person. All he did was elevate one. So you can put people down and elevate yourself. You don't have to. Let God do the elevating and no one's put down. It's called humility. And so he simply spoke of how valuable it was to be a homemaker. Well, to the liberal crowd, that's poison. Your career should be number one. Achieving all you can achieve in life should be number one. I got some news for the world. And I told Cynthia, I said, if they didn't like what he said, do you think they would like this one? And I quote myself here. The greatest thing you'll ever do in this life is raise your kids to get to heaven. That's it, folks. Your job's going to burn up one day and all your accolades are going to go down with you. Your body's going to decay into this world, but your soul, your spirit will live forever somewhere. And so that's, if they think that stirred him up, then can you imagine if he had said what I just said? Not only that, folks, but the greatest thing you'll ever do in life is to see your kids make it to heaven. Folks, that's not a small statement. That is a huge statement, and it should be the priority of every Christian believer anywhere, no matter where you're from. We had to choose this day, as I always say, who we're going to serve. So let's continue on as we move on now to where we are, John 21:15. Now, the scripture, you won't see the scripture, guys, because I'm just going to make reference to it. But John 21:15, Jesus asked Peter three times. You all know the story. He asked them three times, do you love me? Well, as a lot of you know, there are different words for love. There are four exact. So let me review those for just a moment as we move into this particular segment of our topic on love God, hate sin. So you have to understand what love is. See, a lot of times we say, I love you, I'm praying for you, and that means nothing. They are not stopping at any point in their life and praying for you. It's just a nice expression. Thinking of you, praying for you, God bless, let me know if you need anything. You say it in such a way because you just know they're not going to ask you. Remember me telling the story about the man I saw in the wheelchair when I was running? I asked if he needed some help. He said, no, I'm fine. But here's what I did. I said it a second time. I said, sir, is there anything I can do for you? You know what he said? Well, yes, you could. I could really use some help here, here, here. See, the first time he didn't believe me, I meant it. So you can say all kinds of nice things the first time. Right now, my phone's not working. And you know what's when it doesn't work? The first time you call me. It will ring the second time, but not the first time. A lot of people don't make a follow-up call. They just leave a message and think you're going to get back with them. So that's the way my phone is. And so it wasn't until I made sure he knew I was serious. See, we know when we're serious. When you say, oh, let me know if I can help you. How many times have we heard that one? I mean, let me know if I can help you. Well, they're needing help right then. So why would you say, let me know if I can help you? Because you're busy. You've got a schedule. Some good, some not. Do you know that sometimes if you walk with God, you need to be flexible? Do you know there's times in your Christian walk where you walk into a situation and all of a sudden God wants you to do something that goes totally against your schedule for that day? That's hard to stop, isn't it? That's not easy. But when we see the need around us, we just go ahead and help. I was out at the grocery store the other day. And I always try to keep my antenna up if I can acknowledge the Lord. I'm not talking about proselyting or forcing people or choking them with the Bible or anything. I'm talking about acting like Jesus in front of people. So I'm in the store, and she's getting her stuff. And I said, man, you can go ahead of me. She said, oh, I got all this stuff, and it's kind of heavy. I said, well, here, let me take that for you. You go ahead of me. And I carried it to the store. Now, I could have missed that right there. See what I mean? I could have missed it. I could say, well, God bless you. And so I carried her stuff out to the, and I'm not bragging on me, folks. This is not about me at all. I'm talking about us and how we need to act. And so I told her, when we got to the counter and she paid, what I wanted to do was take my card and pay for her bill. So bad. I said, oh, Jesus, help us financially so we can do more of this kind of thing. So we do things like that. And it's such a privilege. Hear me. It is such privilege to be used of God. Oh, it's higher than any achievements in this world for God to say, enter in that good and faithful servant. And so when she was done, I held around, I took her stuff, and I carried it to the car, because if it was heavy to carry to the counter, you think it might be heavy for her to take to the car? I think so. So I stood around until she was done, took her groceries. I put mine on my arm so I could keep them separated, and helped her out there, and I walked her to the car and began to tell her how I was a Christian minister. And she said, you know, listen to what she said. Not a lot of people would do what you just did, or something like that. I got a chance to pray for her. Got a chance to pray for her. And told her how we had some meetings in her home and things like this. Always looking. Not proselyting, always looking where God's at. Always trying to see where Jesus is working. And it may seem like a little thing, but you know what? I believe she was a little encouraged. And that was so valuable to me. Love God, hate sin. Love God, love what God loves. How much does he love us? He sent his son. Hate sin. How much does God hate sin? We're going to talk a little bit about that right now. And we did review this a little bit. Let me go over it again. First of all, let's talk about the four types of love that we were getting ready to talk about where Jesus asked Peter if he loved him three times. There are four kinds of love. There's eros, which is a physical love involving passion or romance, like me and my wife. I'm in trouble already. Number two, storge, which is natural or unconditional love, affection, as love for a parent or an offspring. Then there is philos, philia, friendship or affection. Now, this is going to be important, what I'm going to tell you here. Number four, agape, the highest form of love, the love of God for human beings. Love God, hate sin, not people. Stop hating on people. I mean, my wife will tell you, I'm a political person, and I really struggle with it. Our country's a mess. I mean, I cannot believe that we have so many bright people doing really stupid stuff. First of all, sin is stupid. We've made that clear. Sin is stupid. It's just dumb as it gets. So you got smart people doing dumb things. So I use this expression, if you put Satan and one of these people next to each other, you'd have dumb and dumber. I mean, Satan got kicked out of heaven. How dumb is that? I mean, he was the highest ranking angel, worship leader. He had it all together, but he got full of himself. Can God help you to grow and find your calling and not get full of yourself while you're doing it? Can you stay humble before him? I know people will help you stay humble, but that's humility. That's not humble. That's humility. I think we'd all rather humble ourselves than have someone or something humiliate us. So there's our four types of love. Now, interesting here, now you may know this already, but it was new to me, some of what I'm going to share with you. The first two times that Jesus spoke to Peter, now I knew that he used different forms of love. I was familiar with that, but I wanted to study it a little bit more. The first two times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, Jesus asked in the agape love. Isn't that just like him? The most wonderful expression of love was Jesus. And that's how he spoke. He spoke to him in agape. The third time, Jesus asked Peter in philia. Now, why did Jesus change that? Watch what I'm going to show you here. Jesus was coming down to Peter's level. Because all three times, Peter responded to Jesus. When Jesus said, do you love me in agape? All three times, Peter said it in philia, a friendship, affection. So on the third time, Jesus came down to where Peter was. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus came down to Peter was and said, do you love me, Peter's affection? He met Peter where he was. Now keep in mind here, it's really important to note this. Jesus asked him three times. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Oh, Peter, do you love me? He's asking you that every day. Every day, Jesus is asking us, when you get up in the morning and choose whether to serve him or not, John, do you love me? Talk to the woman at the store for me today. Tell her I love her. We're just too busy doing God's work. We're too busy building our empire. I don't care if you live in a trailer park or a mansion. We will put our heart where our love is. So I want to share that with you. It was a wonderful thing that I had learned. I wanted to share that with you. All three times, Peter answered Jesus with filial love. Three times, Peter denied him three times before the cock crowed, and Jesus asked him three times, do you love me, Peter? Well, we know Peter, at their Pentecost, became a great warrior for God. I'm just, L.A., I just finished a new topic entitled Double Dipping. Because it is so critical as you and I as believers. I'm jumping ship here a little bit, but I want to put this in because it's so important right here. It's so important to you I get past the initial salvation of our life. If you study the Word of God, and it's in my text I'm working on, power comes in the second work. That's where the power is at. And most of us never get past the first stage of salvation, and we have limited ability. And it has to do with hearing God's voice and obeying God's voice. Peter couldn't do it before. Did they not deny Jesus at the, when he was arrested? Did they not? And yet after Pentecost, what happened? Warriors. They became warriors for God. The second feeling, and I could get into all this. That's a totally different subject. But I hope to share that soon. John 15:5. For without me, you can do nothing. Now here's where we stop. Oh, I can't do anything. I'm just a little old me. False humility all over the place. It's sappy. There's nothing worse than false humility. It's as bad as false pride because they are cousins. They both draw attention to the flesh, and that's not what we're supposed to do. Now let's look at Romans 7:18. If you didn't believe that scripture, then let me tell you again in another verse. For I know that in me, this is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Okay, great. Okay, we've established that in two different scriptures that you and I are pretty worthless. What it's saying is, like Paul said, my life is as filthy rags, is that in the presence of my God, I am nothing. I'm his creation. I'm made in his image. I'm called to do great things. You're called to do great things in this world. But how can I be nothing and believe that? Because it's him in you. As one wonderful minister said, I'm one-third wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. Don't mess with Jesus in me. It's just like standing before a bully and you're really brave because you got your dad right behind you. Well, you're ready to fight. Right, Dad? See, that's the way we are. We're nothing, but we have him in us. Therefore, all things are possible. Whatever you're trusting for today, whatever you're believing for today, I hope it involves growing. Folks, I don't want to spin my wheels, keep achieving things in this world that God has never been in, is not working in. I want to make sure I'm about my Father's business. Jesus set the example. Jesus set the example throughout his life on what we were supposed to do when he left. He showed us, he gave us a blueprint throughout his whole life on how, when he was 12. Boy, I'm getting him out of the subject again. When he was 12, he marveled them with his knowledge. But what did he do? When his parents told him to go home, he submitted to them. At that point, I got a wonderful insight for you. I was sharing with my wife on something that I read in Scripture that I didn't quite understand what it meant. And all of a sudden, I tied it into this, and I saw something I'd never seen before. But he submitted to his parents because he was under their authority. Once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was under God's authority. And I'll leave it there. I don't want to give you all the candy right now. So we got all kinds of love. Okay? Now we're talking about love and hate, right? Love your God, hate sin. Well, if you're going to talk about the love of God, you got to understand what God loves, but you also have to understand what God hates. Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense to me. If you're going to love what God loves, you need to know what he loves. He loves you. That's all you need to know. He loves you. He has the best for you. But it also means he loves those that aren't good to you. He's not happy with it, but he wants you to love them anyway. That's our hope, folks. Our hope is the fact that we obey God. Be at the right place at the right time, saying the right things to the right people. So, Jesus said, going back again once more, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. He said, then feed my sheep. And his answer varied just a little bit, but they're very in sync with each other. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb, things like that. So we know that he was trying to get Peter. Here was the essence of this one scripture I just told you about. He was trying to get Peter to love people like he does. He was telling Peter, I love you. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. In other words, if you're going to love me, you're going to love them. Folks, you cannot love God and hate people. Sin you're to hate, not people. But unfortunately, we aren't very mature as a whole, as a church. How do I know that? Look at our world. The church has dropped the ball big time. We have just as many divorces in the church as we do in the world today. We look more like the world all the time. When a man that's a football player cannot get up and tell you that his great achievement in his life is his wife raising our kids and helping them to get our kids to heaven, when you have a problem with that, when Roe v. Wade was finally thrown out of court, we finally defeated Roe v. Wade, what happened to the church? It's very silent. Church didn't say anything about Roe v. Wade. Why? Because they don't want to upset anybody. They don't mind upsetting you. In fact, they want to kill you. They'll tell you that, the world. Watch what's going on in our world today concerning Jews and Christians. Do you think it's a coincidence that the two most hated groups in the world are Jews and Christians? Does that surprise you at all? Folks, this is spiritual warfare. God wins. Get on the right side. I wrote the other day something and I said, how in the world could you not trust a God that created the world? If you're on a team where your coach has all the answers, would you not want to be on that team? God's got it all figured out, folks. Sin's running rampant, but God will have the final word. God will have the final word. Proverbs 6:16-19. Now, I'm reading from the Message Bible here. This is something we went over, but I wanted to do it one more time with your permission so that we better understand where we're going with love and hate. Now, we talked about love, types of love. Let's talk about hate. Well, things God hates. Here are six things that God hates. Does that get your attention? I did mine. I mean, when it says God said, should have your attention. See, the problem with the church today, and I've been writing on this lately as well, the problem with the church today is we're still on that stage where we're questioning God. When things don't go right, now folks, I'm hitting on a really sensitive subject here that affects many people that is keeping you from growing. Today, not the world, the church, by large, now listen to me, the church by large thinks that God isn't always right. He doesn't understand my circumstances. He doesn't know how I feel. Am I hitting anything? Until we get to the point where God is never the problem anymore. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I had to leave this world with something not answered. I want to believe to the very end and trust my God. But unfortunately, so many of us, when we get into that hard place, we start questioning, God, where are you? I thought you, and I thought the word said this. Yes, his word says it. And I'll tell you what, folks, you stick with him, he'll ride you through to the end of that scripture. Most people never get through a whole scripture. Oh, they read it. But they don't get to the point where they live the scripture to the end. They live it just so far. For God so loved the world. Oh, I like that. Well, what about the rest of the scripture? Are you living the rest of it? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you been living that part? God is looking for a people, as I mentioned the other day, that's looking for him. Or, as I changed it in the end, God is looking for people that are looking like him. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. So, let me see. Let me go back here just a second. So, the six things that God hates. Are you ready? See if they're on your list. If you're honest enough. He loathes. Don't you like that word? It's kind of those like words of like you can really dramatize it. He loathes. You know, like the Grinch. So he loathes with a passion. Whoa. He loathes. Now this is a Message Bible. He loathes with a passion. Eyes that are arrogant. Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots. Boy, that's well thought out, isn't it? A heart that hatches evil thoughts. That means out of the heart come the issues of life. Whatever you are devising in here, your heart will hatch it. Oh, thank you. People lying awake, and thank you, LA. People lie awake at night thinking of the evilness that they can do. The Bible says that. Yes, I know. I'm sorry. My wife loves to help me. Thank you, Annie. Okay, and after that one, feet that race down a wicked track. Folks, this is intentional stuff. You don't accidentally sin. We've talked about that. A mouth that lies under oath. A troublemaker or sows discord among his brethren in the family. Troublemakers. Now, there is a lips that lie, and there's a second one that says that lies under oath. Those are separate. You can lie, but when you give an oath and lie, it's a different category. And we did talk about that a little bit, if you go back and watch that. So, a mouth that lies under oath swears against itself, but lies all the same. How many times do we see that in our society, especially in politics? Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 from the Amplified Version. When angry, do not sin. Now, let's stop right there. You probably know the scripture I'm going to read to you right now. We all know the expression, be angry and sin not. We know that expression. And we also know the rest of the scripture where it says, do not ever let the wrath, your exasperation, your fury, your indignation last until the sun comes down. Now, we know both those scriptures, but we never tie them together. Listen to what it says. When angry, do not sin. This is setting precedence for the rest of the scripture because people are misinterpreting this scripture. They're saying, well, don't let the sun go down your wrath. What they're saying, what they think it means is when you go to bed tonight, make sure you take care of any anger. In other words, you can be angry during the day, that's fine, but don't go to bed on it. That's not what it's saying. If you go back and read this again, it says that from the beginning, when angry, there's a good anger. When angry, do not sin. In other words, it's telling us, do not give up on your anger towards sin. Do not go to bed without staying stirred up over the sin around us and the anger. Stay angry at sin, not people. We're not to hate people. We're to hate sin. Right there it tells us, be angry and sin not. That means you can have a what? A righteous anger. Tells it right there. So when it says don't let the sun go down your wrath, don't stop being angry over sin. Don't stop. One of our biggest problems, folks, in our lives is that we have tolerated sin. We haven't gotten angry at all. I heard a godly man, I'm telling you what, a godly man went to a school board meeting, a wonderful black gentleman went to a school board meeting and was holding up this pornography they're putting into schools. He said, when he got done, he said, I want this out of the school by the end of today. To think that what we're tolerating in our schools, that they can get away with putting pornography in grade schools in their library, things that are illegal. I'm telling you, folks, but this man had had enough. He says, time to rise up. Parents, time to wake up. We're sitting in our church, we're thinking about where we're going to eat lunch, and we don't talk to God until the next Sunday when we say amen to the preacher's sermon. That's not a relationship. And if you don't think you'll be tested, try God and see what happens. He may give you an assignment, but I tell you what, he'll equip you for it. He'll equip you for it. You won't go in alone. He will always be with you. He'll never leave your side because he lives inside of you. So, moving on. Did you hear that? When angry, do not sin. That's what that scripture is telling us. When we're angry, don't sin. Have a righteous anger. See, a righteous anger still has the love of God all over. Jesus stirred up a lot of people. And he was doing good when he raised Jairus' daughter. They didn't care that she was not alive anymore. He did it on the Sabbath. Do you see how stupid sin is? That you're more concerned about the rituals than you are the relationship. Jesus was all over, and I got these in my notes here coming up. Jesus was all over the Pharisees just like he was his disciples. Did you notice that? Because in both cases, they knew they were accountable. When you hang around Jesus, you're accountable. Pharisees knew right from wrong and turned himself over to deceit. His disciples had been under his tutelage. They knew. When he got mad at the disciples when they couldn't heal the boy with the two mute and deaf spirits, why did Jesus get upset with the disciples over that? Because they could do it, and they did. Their faith failed them. That's why Jesus, he wouldn't have gotten upset if they didn't know any better. But he got upset with the Pharisees, he got upset with the disciples because both groups knew better, not the general crowd. You notice how kind he was to the sinners and the general crowd, like Mary that was caught in adultery? Do you know why? Because they were not accountable like the disciples and the Pharisees. Both the Pharisees and disciples were accountable for what they did because they knew better. They knew the law, forward and backward. We cannot love God unless we hate sin. We must put away a fleshly anger and replace it with an anger that does not lead to sin. Did you get that? That's good. Let me read it again to you. We must put away all fleshly anger and replace it with an anger that does not lead to sin. Folks, and again, I'm sorry to repeat this, but I do so much writing lately. I did a topic on anger, and I did a topic on let's see what our philosophical place here. So we put away fleshly anger and replace it with an anger that doesn't lead to sin. God wants us to know how to be angry at something that is sin, but don't hate the sinner. See, we put them in the same basket. Well, we'd never have a homosexual in our church. You better pray they come to church because that's where their hope's at. They should be met with love and care in the Word. I think I shared this the other day. I don't know if I shared it here or not. But there was a bishop, I believe he was a bishop, that did eulogies for presidents and things. And he was about 65, and he was going to change directions. And he made some comments that, were, to me, were red flags. He said, I'm generally a conservative bishop. Honey, you're either all for God or you're not. You can't generally serve God. You can't generally do God's will. What that's saying is, sometimes I appease the crowds and sometimes I don't. And then he said something to this effect, but not word for word. I love people of these different backgrounds, LGBTQ and all these people. I love them when they come in. I was right there with him. But what I heard after that concerned me because in so many words, I thought I could hear him say, And since I love them, it's all right the way they are. Folks, if someone's drowning in the water, you don't pull out a video on how to swim. You save their life. You pull them out of their sin. How? Love. And then more love. And then a third love, as Jesus said to Peter. He could have very easily said many other things to Peter. He could have said, let's contemporize this for a moment. Take that same scripture where Jesus, he asked Peter if he loved him. Put that in contemporary terms. Do you love me? Love the homosexuals. Do you love me? Love the homeless. Do you love me? Love those that curse me. I do. Do you love me? See, love is that glue that binds everything together. As I've said over and over again, if you don't have love, get it before you do anything. You cannot have a ministry without the love of God. You cannot do it. You got to have such a passion for people and a love for people that causes you to give up your fleshly philia love. Thank you. We must put away a fleshly anger and replace it with an anger that does not lead to love. Arguing, that's what I was wanting to get to. Arguing. There's never a place for an argument. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. People are going to disagree with you and they want to get you in an argument. They want to stir things up because an argument is just two fleshes hitting heads. There's nothing gained. They tried to pull Jesus into arguments. Now he would give them truth and he'd come against it. But he didn't argue. You notice that? Jesus never argued. He told the truth, and you can accept it or reject it. That's the way Jesus told truth. But he loved them so much, he would tell them the truth. But if they didn't receive it, he wasn't going to argue and try to twist their hands and make them feel bad because they didn't tithe. No, he loved them, he gave them the truth, and they did with it as they wished, including his disciples. So we're going to stop right there on our part two next Sunday. Hopefully next Sunday morning at 10, we'll do part three on love, God, hate, sin. We're going to get into some interesting things here that I think you enjoy and I think will encourage you to consider. And that's what I'm here for. I just finished that first book I told you, L.A., called Think on These Things. Dude, we need to chew on some stuff, folks. We need to think things out. And no one's going to do it for you. Mommy and daddy aren't going to do it. Your husband and wife, your children, they're not going to do it. You're going to get to a place where you're either going to do it or you're not. You're going to chew on the Word of God or you're not. You're going to get into the Word of God or you're not. You're going to pray more or you're not. You're going to listen for God's voice every day or you're not. You're going to love God and hate sin or not. That's your choices. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and to hate sin like God hates sin, so much so that he sent his son to wipe sin out of your future if you come to him. That's how awesome he is. He has the best for you, folks. Each one of you are very special to him. You're very unique. No one has, listen to me, not one of you, God has made another one like you. I don't care how many millions of people have lived. There's no one like you. He created you individually with a calling, a purpose. As I've mentioned over and over again in Psalm 139, your story is written in a book. Your story, before you were ever formed, is written in a book. How you doing? So how are you doing? Jesus, I praise you. I bless you. I thank you for the awesome privilege of trying to convey in some small way just how wonderful you are and how much you love us and what you've called us to, a higher purpose than this world has to give us. That we go out full of God, spreading love everywhere we go, but also setting a standard of holiness in everything we do and say that does not compromise or condone sin anywhere, but is so full of love, they still don't want to leave. Lord, may we be a light that shines in the world. May we be salt. May we be salt and light. Salt is made up of two things. Either one of them will kill you. Sodium and chloride. Sodium will kill you. Chloride will kill you. But when you put them together to make salt, you can't live without it. We serve an awesome God. You're so wonderful. I bless you, Father. I worship you. If you don't know him, I invite you to say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died and rose on the third day for me, and you're preparing a place in heaven for me, and I want to serve you the rest of my life. Do it right now. Give him your heart. Let us know. Make comments in there. Let us know you're listening, and if it helped you, if you have any questions, praise reports, we can even share them here as you share them with us. And I pray that if you would, please hit like, share, and even subscribe so that others can hear what we're sharing, that we too, along with you, could be missionaries to this world. As my pastor would say, when you share something with other people on social media, you've done your missionary task for the day. It's awesome. We bless you, Father. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned next Sunday at 10 a.m. when we continue part 3 on Love God.